All right, everyone, just take a second and look at the date. It's February 17th, 2026. And before we get into the really heavy stuff today, I want you to mentally rewind a bit, just a couple of years, back to 2024. Do you remember that absolute, just fever pitch obsession the internet had with the AI crown?
Oh, the heavyweight fights. It was.
Mm-hmm.
It was unavoidable.
Relentless. Every single week, it was the same headline, right? GPT versus Gemini.
Yeah.
Which one is smarter?
Which one codes better?
Which one writes a less embarrassing haiku about a dishwasher? It was this this breathless zero-sum game.
Yeah, where the whole tech world was convinced there could only be one god model to rule them all.
It really was the tech equivalent of a celebrity death match.
It was. And frankly, looking back at the sources we have on the desk today, it seems a little naive, doesn't it?
It really does.
We were treating these massive, complex systems like they were, I don't know, contestants on some reality show.
That is exactly what we are digging into today. We have a huge stack of research, industry white papers, technical breakdowns in front of us, and they all point to one conclusion. That entire debate, who wins, is officially ancient history.
It's over.
If you are still asking that question in 2026, you are asking the wrong question.
Completely. The industry has pivoted. It's not about a single super brain anymore. It's about something the sources are calling model orchestration.
Orchestration. That is the buzzword of the day. And for everyone listening, you know, whether you're a DevOps engineer trying to figure out why your hallucinations are finally going down,
or just someone trying to understand why your app suddenly feels so much sharper this year,
this is the deep dive for you. We are going to unpack the unified intelligence stack. We're going to look at why GPT and Gemini are actually better as teammates than rivals. And this is my personal favorite part. We're going to tear apart the hardware specs required to run this whole beast.
And the hardware is where it gets really interesting, because the silicon has had to evolve just as fast as the software to keep up with this kind of architecture.
So let's start with that paradigm shift.
Yeah.
The sources call this the move from competition to orchestration.
Yeah.
Why did that one model to rule them all idea fail? I mean, back in 2024, it felt like we were getting close to AGI every other Tuesday.
It did, didn't it?
Why couldn't we just make one model big enough to do everything?
It felt that way, but the cracks started showing pretty quickly. The old way, and by old, I mean, what, 18 months ago,
right,
treated these large language models, LLMs, like solo artists. You'd throw a massive prompt at a single model. You'd say, here's a 50-page legal document. Read it, understand it, find the loophole, write a rebuttal, and, oh, format it in JSON.
And we just expected it to do all of that perfectly in one shot.
Mm, exactly. But think about what you're actually asking for there. You're asking for two very different cognitive processes at the same time. You're asking for massive context retention, just holding all that data in memory and high precision reasoning, the actual logic to find the loophole.
And that's where the hallucinations came from, that split.
That's the root of it. It's the jack of all trades problem. When you force a reasoning engine to also be a storage engine, it gets, well, distracted is the best word for it. The data clearly shows that as the context length went up, reasoning accuracy went down. The model would just start making things up.
Because it was drowning in noise.
It was drowning in noise. It couldn't separate the signal from the, you know, the background static.
So the industry realized they needed to stop looking for a unicorn.
And start building a team.
A team.
Precisely. The frameworks we're looking at today, they define model orchestration as coordinating specialized models to handle specific layers of cognition. It's a shift from vertical scaling, just making one model bigger, to horizontal specialization.
It's like building a house. You don't want your architect pouring the concrete.
No.
And you definitely don't want the plumber designing the roof. Even if they could do it, it wouldn't be good.
That is the perfect analogy. You want a general contractor, the orchestrator, who knows exactly who to call for which job. You optimize for the specific task.
Not for general capability.
Exactly.
So let's meet the crew. The sources draw a pretty sharp line between two classes of models in 2026. The GPT class and the Gemini class. And I think this is fascinating because it finally gives us a vocabulary for why these models feel different. Let's start with GPT class. What's their role?
Okay, so think of the GPT class models as your executors.
Executors. That sounds serious.
It is. Their superpower, according to all the comparative analysis, is precision reasoning and execution. These models are just optimized for deep logical chains. They're the thinkers.
The ones who sit down and do the math.
That's it. So when I need code written that actually compiles, or I need a logical deduction from A to B to C without skipping a step, this is who I call.
That's the one. If you need to solve a complex math problem, write a specific SQL query, or structure a JSON object perfectly so it doesn't break an API. You want a GPT-style architecture. They are fantastic at following a rigid set of instructions inside a contained environment. They check their work.
But they have a weakness, right? We already established they can't do everything.
A significant one. They get overwhelmed by noise. If you throw a million tokens of raw, messy, unstructured data at a reasoning model, its performance just degrades rapidly.
It tries to overanalyze the noise.
It tries to find meaning in garbage. Which brings us, I assume, to the Gemini class.
Enter the Gemini class. This is your reader, or your analyzer. Their strength is massive context and multimodal intelligence.
Okay, so while GPT is sitting in a quiet room doing math, Gemini is out in the world just soaking everything up.
That's a great way to visualize it. Gemini class models are built for ingestion. They can swallow huge data sets, entire code bases, hours of video, thousands of PDFs, and they don't choke.
They're optimized for context mapping.
They just don't get tired of reading. They don't necessarily need to solve the logic puzzle. They just need to understand the landscape.
Right. They ingest the world, create an abstraction of it, and figure out where the important stuff lives.
They're the librarians who know where every book is, even if they aren't the ones writing the actual thesis.
Okay, I want to push on this a bit because it sounds expensive. Running two giant models instead of one, isn't that doubling your latency, making everything slower?
You would think so. Intuition says yes, but the sources argue it actually improves latency for complex tasks.
How?
Here's why. Because the reader, the Gemini model, filters out, say, 90% of the noise. The thinker, the GPT model, only has to process a tiny high signal prompt. A reasoning model works much, much faster when it's not wading through garbage.
So it can execute its task instantly because all the prep work is already done.
Exactly. You're trading raw processing volume for signal clarity.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's look at how this actually works. The source material outlines an intelligence pipeline. It's not just a cloud, it's a factory line. Walk us through stage one.
Stage one is ingestion. This is Gemini's domain. Let's take a concrete example from the text. Let's say you're a software company. You have a legacy code base with 2 million lines of spaghetti code.
The nightmare scenario.
Total nightmare. No one wants to touch that code. And you want to fix a specific bug in the payment processing module.
Right. In the old days, you couldn't paste 2 million lines of code into a prompt. It would hit a token limit or just hallucinate a fix that breaks everything else.
Because it forgot what was on line 5,000. So stage one, you feed the entire repo into the Gemini class model.
The whole thing. And what is it doing? Reading every line.
It's building a context map. It's indexing the relationships. Function A calls database B. This variable is defined in this file. It's establishing situational awareness. It's not fixing the bug yet. It's just understanding the environment.
Okay, so we have a map. But a map of a massive city is still huge. You can't just hand that to someone and say, go fix the pothole.
Which leads to stage two, abstraction. And this is the critical step. This is the innovation of 2026. This is where the system extracts the signal.
Signal extraction. I love that term. Sounds like spycraft.
It basically is. The orchestrator, the system managing this whole process, asks, okay, based on this error log, which parts of this 2 million line map actually matter? And the Gemini model filters the repository down to, say, the 300 lines that are actually relevant to that payment bug.
So we've gone from an entire library down to a single page.
That's it. We have compressed the context into an actionable signal. We've thrown away all the noise, the UI code, the login scripts.
The stuff that has nothing to do with payments.
And only then do we move to stage three, execution.
Handing it off to the GPT class.
Right. Now we hand those 300 lines of clean, relevant code to the GPT model and say, find the logic error. And because the input is so clean, the reasoning model is incredibly accurate. It's not guessing about dependencies it can't see. It has exactly what it needs.
And nothing it doesn't. It's like the difference between asking a detective to solve a crime by just wandering around a chaotic city
versus
handing them a file with the three suspects, their alibis, and the weapon.
And the success rate reflects that. The research shows this reasoning-aware multi-agent framework, it just drastically reduces hallucinations. The reasoning model isn't being asked to remember the whole city, just the suspects. It frees up compute for actual thinking.
This feels like such a massive maturation of the technology. It's less magic box.
And more industrial engineering.
It feels safer.
That is the theme of 2026. It's about engineering reliability. We're done with the magic tricks. We want systems that work in production.
But reliability requires iron. We have to talk about the hardware. The source material here is surprisingly specific. I was expecting generic cloud compute talk, but we have actual model numbers.
It seems like the hardware stack has specialized just like the software stack. It has to. You can't run this kind of orchestrated dance on generic hardware. And what's interesting is that the sources are pointing to a local orchestration setup, like a super workstation.
Let's start with the muscle, the thinking chip. The sources point to the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 5090 as the primary compute.
The 5090, in this local architecture, this is where the GPT class model lives. It provides the compute density. When you need those deep logic chains where the model is thinking step by step, you need massive parallel processing power. You need CUDA cores. That's the GPU's job.
It crunches the math for the reasoning step.
Right.
Okay, wait, here's what caught my eye. There's a second brain involved. The sources mention the AMD Ryzen 9 9950X as the manager. Why do we need a high-end CPU if the GPU is doing the AI work? Isn't the CPU just there to run Windows?
Not anymore, because orchestration is not the same thing as inference. Orchestration is logic flow. It's moving data, deciding when to switch models.
It's handling the I/O.
That's a serial processing task, not a parallel one. The GPU is the artist painting the picture, but the CPU is the gallery manager.
Making sure the doors are open and the lights are on.
And making sure the canvas is there when the artist reaches for it. The Ryzen 9 handles the system orchestration. It manages that ingestion pipeline, taking in the data for Gemini, handling the handoff. If your CPU is slow, your GPU just sits idle waiting for data.
And idle GPUs are just expensive space heaters.
Exactly. You lose all the efficiency you just gained.
There's another spec here that I think people might gloss over, but the source highlights it as critical. Storage. The Samsung 990 Pro 4TB NVMe. Why does a hard drive matter for AI? I thought it all lived in memory.
That's a common misconception. It's about data velocity. In the old days, sure, you loaded a model into VRAM and left it. But in an orchestrated system, you might be swapping models in and out constantly.
You're constantly rewriting memory.
Constantly. It's called model swapping. If you have a slow drive, that swap takes seconds. With something like the 990 Pro, it's instantaneous. You need that high-velocity tier to keep the pipeline moving. If the drive is the bottleneck, the whole orchestra stops.
And that links to the RAM, right? The source lists the G-Skill Trident Z5, 128 gigabytes of DDR5.
128 gigs.
That used to be server territory. Now it's a requirement for a high-end AI workstation.
For this architecture, yes, that is your model memory pool. If you can't fit everything in the GPU's VRAM, which you usually can't, it spills over to the system RAM. If you don't have enough fast RAM, the whole system bottlenecks. It's the waiting room for the intelligence.
It really drives home the point that AI speed isn't just one number. It's a chain.
It's a chain. If the storage is slow, the RAM waits. If the RAM is slow, the CPU waits. If the CPU is slow, the GPU waits.
And the user just sees a loading spinner.
The unified intelligence stack is all about balancing that flow so there are no weak links.
So we've got the theory, we've got the hardware. But is this actually happening? Or is this just something architects draw on whiteboards? The source lists some real-world applications.
Oh, it's definitely happening. We already talked about software engineering. That's the killer app right now. Large repo ingestion leading to targeted refactoring.
Yeah.
That alone is transforming how code gets written.
But what about outside of coding? The media and knowledge systems example caught my eye. They mentioned using the Readacaster Pro 2.
Right. This is for high-end audio and video analysis. Imagine you're a journalist or a researcher. You have 10 hours of interviews.
A lot of noise. A lot of rambling.
Tons of noise. The workflow here starts with the Readacaster capturing high-fidelity audio. That feeds into a Gemini class model for multimodal transcription. But it doesn't just transcribe words. It analyzes tone, pauses, speaker identification.
It understands the context of the conversation.
It creates this rich metadata layer. Then it extracts the key claims, the signal, and passes them to a GPT class model. The prompt becomes, compare these claims against this database of verified facts and flag any inconsistencies.
So Gemini listens and GPT fact checks.
Exactly. If you tried to do that with one model, it would get lost in the ums and ahs. By splitting it, you get a clean transcript and a rigorous fact check. You're turning raw media into structured knowledge.
And the data and research application is similar, right? Cross-document pattern detection.
This is huge for legal and scientific fields. Let's say you have 1,000 research papers and you need to find a pattern. A single model might hallucinate a connection that isn't there because it's trying to connect too many dots at once. It gets confused.
So Gemini acts as the librarian again.
It acts as the ingestion layer. It reads everything. It indexes it. Then the orchestrator says, is there a contradiction between the methodology in paper A and the conclusion in paper B? The GPT model only looks at those two specific sections. It treats the research like a database query, not a creative writing assignment.
It's so clear when you break it down like that. We've really moved from magic box to assembly line.
And that's a good thing. Assembly lines are reliable. Magic boxes, not so much.
So let's wrap this up. We started this deep dive talking about the GPT versus Gemini fanboy wars of 2024.
The celebrity death match.
And we've ended up here. With the cooperative ecosystem, the war is over, the treaty was signed, they're working together now.
They are. And frankly, the results are better for it.
Yeah.
We are seeing systems that are smarter, faster, and much, much less likely to lie to you.
So for the listener, why does this matter to them? If they aren't building a server rack in their basement, what's the real takeaway?
The takeaway is about how you solve problems. In 2026, critical thinking isn't about finding the one perfect tool that does everything. It's about understanding the nature of your problem.
Is it a context problem or is it a reasoning problem?
Exactly. Are you drowning in data? That's a Gemini problem. Are you struggling to structure a logical argument? That's a GPT problem. The skill now is being the architect. You have to design the pipeline. You aren't just the user anymore. You're the conductor.
You have to know which section of the orchestra needs to come in and when. You don't just wave the wand and hope for music.
Right. You don't ask the tuba to play the violin solo.
I love that. And here is where I want to leave everyone with a final thought. Something that isn't explicitly in the text, but it feels like the elephant in the room.
Let's hear it.
We spent the last, 15 minutes talking about how silicon is specializing. How to get peak performance, we had to stop building generalist AIs. Mm. We had to start building specialized agents that collaborate. Mm. The reader, the thinker, the manager.
Right. Efficiency through specialization.
So, if that is the mathematically optimal way to process information, what does that say about us? We still obsess over the generalist human, the person who can multitask, who can be the visionary and the accountant and the engineer all at once. We prize the hustler who does it all.
That's a heavy question.
Maybe we're optimizing for the wrong thing. Maybe, just maybe, we should be looking at our own teams like an orchestration layer. Are you the ingestion layer, soaking up the world, finding the patterns? Or are you the execution layer, getting the logic right, executing the plan?
And trusting the other person to handle their part of the stack.
Exactly. Stop trying to be the super brain and start trusting the pipeline.
I think I need to go reorganize my team now.
Something to chew on while you're orchestrating your next project. Thanks for diving in with us today.
Always a pleasure.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive.